Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, starting from verse 1.
For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Okay, now here the word of God is saying, God appointed a man to be a high priest. Then he's saying why he appointed, and the word of God is saying God had chosen a man because the man could understand the weakness of man, and that's why he wanted person to have compassion over the people, and that's why he chosen the man. And this man, Aaron, was an ordinary man just like you and me. And when he goes to the most holy place, he does the sacrifice for the people and for himself. And that's what he was doing. And the word of God is saying, verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So, Aaron was called by God, and he was doing the service in the tabernacle. Now, even though God called Aaron, but there are so many people who were jealous about Aaron's ministry. So what they did, they complained to Moses. And they start saying, why Aaron has to do the ministry? And why cannot we do it? And so, see what God did. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 17, starting from verse 1 to 13.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying?
See now, when God chosen the Aaron, other people start saying, why cannot we do the same job Aaron doing it? So God had the solution. Bring all the rods. Those rods are not like green trees. They were dried up rod. Means no life in it. And all the 12 rods from each tribe, they took it, they wrote their names, put it there in the tabernacle. Only the rod of Aaron was buried with the blossom, flowers and everything. And so God approved Aaron's ministry, and those people, they say, now we cannot even go near the tabernacle and do anything, otherwise we will be dead. So point I'm making, how much glorious ministry God gave it to Aaron. And sounded like Aaron's ministry was forever or everlasting. Go to the Numbers 25, start reading from verse 10.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it and deceive after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel.
Now here you say, see, covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Now the Aaron and his children, they had God's blessing to do the priesthood for everlasting. Now here in this chapter, you will be reading, the priesthood from Aaron is taken away and given to Jesus Christ. Now somebody will say, if the Lord says this priesthood will be for everlasting, and so how could God change that and give it to his son Jesus Christ? Now it works like this. When you say the priesthood did not change. What changed? The high priest changed. Just like somebody has the factory or company and their president changes or their manager changes, but the company keeps on going. So the priesthood was for everlasting. So now we read from book of Hebrews chapter 5 verses 1 to 4 and we learn that how God chosen a man, gave him the ministry of high priest, and he said that man, he took it from the man so man could understand the people's feelings, their weaknesses, and he could go and do the service to mankind. But now God is changing it. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5.
So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
Last week, if you remember, said the Moses, and he was honest in his ministry in the house of God, but the Jesus Christ was greater than Moses. Today we are learning Aaron doing the ministry. He was a good man, and he was doing sacrifice for himself and the people of God. But the word of God is saying, so also Christ glorified not himself to made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Now when somebody reads this, they will say Jesus Christ was a begotten of the Father. That means the Father gave the birth to Jesus. But it's not like that. The Word of God says the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are from the beginning, from eternity. Then why the word we read begotten? Now as we know, Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. Book of St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we read in St. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that was the Son of God. So the Word of God became flesh, and that's the time we say Jesus Christ was born into this world. But that doesn't mean the Son of God was born for the first time in this world. Son of God was there for eternity. But when he took the form of man, was called also the Son of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So he is only begotten of the Father when he took a form of man and came into this world. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 to 6.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him.
Now see, when Jesus Christ came out of the womb of Mary, he was also the begotten, only begotten Son of God. But when he died on the cross of Calvary and he went to the belly of the earth and came out of the resurrection, a Son of God. That was the perfect Son of God. That's what he says, again, he begotten him. So what happens when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, buried and resurrection, that became a creation for mankind. The man was made from the dust, and the man dies and goes back to the dust. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, and he said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And when Jesus Christ died and came out of the grave, he came out of like a power of resurrection. And that's why St. Peter is saying, go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, Verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
See, now Jesus Christ is called the only begotten Son. And now when we are believers in Jesus Christ after the resurrection of Christ, we are also begotten of him. That means Jesus Christ is the first fruit, and once we believe that he is the one came out of the grave and he never died again. Jesus Christ said in the Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he says, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Same thing, same power he gave it to us. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 29. He became the first begotten of the brethren. He set an example for us for eternal life.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
See, firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ did not come here to make you and me slaves. Jesus Christ came here to make you the children of God. So when he is the Son of God, we are the children of God. When he is the firstborn, we are also the firstborn of the creation. So Jesus Christ set an example. He was the first in the line. He came out of the grave. We will come out of the grave. He lives eternally. We live eternally. Only happens when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So now here the writer of this book of Hebrews, some people say they don't know who writer is, but I believe it's Paul. So the Paul is writing, Aaron was the high priest, but now God is changing the priesthood and giving to his son, Jesus Christ. The word of God is saying, Aaron's priesthood for everlasting. But now Jesus' priesthood changed it like a priesthood like a Melchizedek. Let's go to book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6.
As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now when you say, as he saith also in other place. As I told you, in olden days, they didn't have the chapters and books written. So he says in other place. Actually, he says in book of Psalm 110, verse 4. Please read.
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now here the word of God says, God promised that there is another priest coming, and his pattern will be like a priest, like a Melchizedek. We will be reading more about Melchizedek and the priesthood as we read in chapter 7. But I'm just going to, in short, we'll tell you. Melchizedek had no beginning, no ending, no father, no mother. So he was an everlasting priest and as well as king. So here the word of God is saying, God already promised and made a high priest beforehand. But people will not understand the priest or ministry. So he started with Aaron. But the Aaron was a sinful man just like you and me. He has to go to the most holy place and he offers sacrifice for his sin and the people's sin. Just like he promised to the Aaron and his son, your priesthood for everlasting. But the promise to Jesus and his followers, our priesthood will not only for everlasting, but unchangeable priesthood. God said and promised about the priesthood like Melchizedek. Then the people would say, who is that? Now he is giving you a scripture to understand who that person is. Read the verse 7. Hebrews 5:7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
Okay, now when you read this scripture, we are talking about Jesus. But here is saying, this is a man in his flesh, when he was on earth, he offered a prayers and supplication with a strong crying and with the tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Now when you read this, when was this prayer offered? Now this prayer was offered by Jesus Christ. And when he was praying this prayer, he was praying this prayer in Gethsemane. Now in Gethsemane, when he was praying, if you remember, he said to his disciples, Peter, John, and James, stay here and pray with me 1 hour. And they were praying, and then Jesus went away. They didn't know how to say the distance. So they said distance was like a stone throw away. Now how far your stone will go, maybe 30, 40, 50 feet, or sometime 100 feet. That's the distance Jesus went and started praying. And as we learn, when Jesus Christ was praying, he was having like a spiritual battle with the enemy. And he starts sweating like a blood, not like a blood itself. So when you start sweating blood from your forehead and all your body and blood start flowing, you will die. So he comes to the disciples, he says, please pray for me. And they were still sleeping, and then he goes back and prays again. And what he was praying, I do not want to die in the Gethsemane. Many people get mixed up with this, that Jesus was saying, I do not want to go to cross. So I don't want to die. Jesus was ready to go to cross because the word of God says he was slain before the foundation of the world. It cannot be changed. And he was willing to go. You remember one time Peter says, we don't have to go there because they are going to kill you. He said, get behind me, Satan, because your eyes and your mind is in worldly thing. So Jesus Christ set up his mind to go to cross. He had chance. Pilate said, I can let you go. He said, you don't have power. I lay down my own life. Then what he was praying in the Gethsemane? Gethsemane, he said, he prayed with the tears and crying and loud voice. And the word of God says he was asking, save me from the death. And the word of God says God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer. What does it mean? God did not allow him to die in a Gethsemane. And that prayer was heard and he was saved from death. Now if somebody says this prayer he was asking about not to go to a cross, and then he would not be dying there. He says he saved him from the death. So point I'm making, Jesus cried in that Gethsemane with the tears while the blood was flowing from his body, and God did not allow him to die. And the word of God said the angel came and ministered to him from that place. So that is the Son of God. Let's go to the Hebrew chapter 5 verse 8.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Now here is saying, though he was son, who? Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but he took the form of man. God never took the form of man anytime. So now when Jesus took the form of man, he has to act like man, he has to be like man, he likes to be like servant, and he wants to take the death penalty of mankind. And so he took the death penalty on the cross. So the word of God says, even though he was the Son of God, became the man, as the Son of God took a form of man, and he learned to obey God. And he died as a man for you and for me. And so he says he learned something. So what he's learning, he's teaching you and me. He was not learning for himself. He was telling us, you and me, how to be obedient child of God. Even though he was dying on the cross, and many people said, if you are a son of God, why don't you come down from the cross and then we believe. It was easy for him to come from the cross. It's not difficult to snap those nails from his hand if he wants to. But it was not easy once the person is dead for 3 days coming out of the grave. But Jesus Christ did it. So the word of God is saying he was here to teach you and me obedience to God. And so we cannot just say do this, do this, do this. Jesus Christ did it himself. He was an example for you and me. So he was perfect Son of God and perfect man. Read the verse 9.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Now see, took the form of man, died as a man, and came out of the grave as the Son of God. So here he's saying, now he became what? The author of eternal life. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. That means he is the creator of faith. Jesus Christ created faith. He is the author of faith and finisher of faith. But now, he says, when he was obedient to death and conquered the death for mankind, now he became the author of eternal salvation. What does it mean? No Moses or David or any other Old Testament person was not author of salvation. They talked about salvation, they preached about salvation, all the Old Testament people, but no one called the author of eternal salvation. Jesus Christ is the only one. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12. There is no man under heaven can save us. But only one is Jesus Christ.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That means any religion, anywhere in the world, not in heaven, earth, or under earth, there was anyone to save mankind. That means angel cannot save, no heroes can save, no other religion person can save, only Jesus. Why? Because he gave his blood for mankind. And the blood has life. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. So the Jesus Christ became the author of our salvation. So we should say boldly, there is no other God. There is no other hero. There is no other redeemer anywhere in the world. I heard there is a one man comes on the radio. He's a very famous man. I don't want to give his name. But he says, I believe there are so many ways to go to heaven. And if somebody comes to me and say, what religion I should take? I would tell that person, take your mom and dad's religion. And every religion will take you to heaven. Is that true? No. If that was true, then Jesus Christ cannot be author of eternal salvation. He is the only one. Why? Because he gave his life for mankind. Without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. And so, John chapter 14, verse 6, what Jesus Christ said. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and without me, no one can go to the Father. So what he's trying to say, you don't know who Father is. If you want to go to Father, come to me. And I will show you who Father is. So the Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation. So without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life. Without Jesus, there is no way to heaven. Without Jesus, there is no one can show you who Father is. Because Jesus Christ says, I was in the bosom of my Father, and I came from there. For what? To take you and me to heaven. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 10.
Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
That's why he said called of God. God called him and a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So this was in the mind of God, but he waited until Jesus Christ comes out of the grave and destroyed the power of death. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Now he is trying to say, I am trying to explain to you who is the Melchizedek. Who is the high priest? Who is the author of eternal salvation? He's saying, you people should be listening to the word of God and be teachers. But you are dull of hearing. That means what I am trying to say is not going to your mind. Now somebody might be sitting here and say, what the Pastor Peter is trying to say, Aaron's priesthood to come to Jesus' priesthood, and now what has to do with it? But do you know, as soon as Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, what happened? The curtain from the temple was torn from top to bottom, and now the curtain is torn from top to bottom, so now everything is open. From that day until today, all the sacrifices are closed. No Hebrew person doing any blood sacrifice today. The day Jesus Christ died until today, there is no blood sacrifice. Now, you might have heard many prophecy teachers teaching you they are going to build a temple. Now they are going to find some high priest. They are going to find the red heifer. They are going to find all the everything what was in the tabernacle. And people are already doing it. But what we're learning today, the word of God is saying the Aaron's priesthood is gone. His priesthood was for everlasting, but now the priesthood is changed to Christ, and that priesthood will be unchangeable priesthood. The day Jesus Christ died and went to heaven, he says now he is our high priest. We will be learning. Now this fifth chapter of book of Hebrews laying in foundation that who is the high priest. And he's saying, now if I try to tell you, your mind is dull. You will not understand what has to do. Priesthood is already gone. There is no priest now. And why in this book of Hebrews talking about Jesus Christ is the priest? Jesus Christ came, first time, came as a prophet. When he died on the cross of Calvary, now he is your high priest. And when he comes back to this world, he will be your king. So now Jesus Christ was a prophet. He is a high priest. He is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What has to do with us? The word of God says we will be the kings and the priests in his kingdom. That's why we have to learn about this. And then he says, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, for the time we ought to be a teachers. So what I'm trying to say and what the word of God is saying, some people go to church from 10 years, 20 years, 50 years and do not know the teaching of the Bible. Why? Because most of the people telling you the stories, telling about the richness and how to be quick rich or all kinds of things, but very few pastors are teaching the doctrine of the Bible. So here is saying you're supposed to learn the word of God thoroughly and be a teacher and a preacher. That's what the word of God is trying to say. But he says you are drinking just some milk and you would never learn to eat the strong food. Now somebody said, what's wrong with the milk? Milk is a full food. It's good. But let me give you another example. The baby is born, and the day the baby is born, maybe within 3-4 days, baby start drinking milk, mother's milk. Now that baby can drink the mother's milk, how long? Some people can feed maybe a 6 month. Some people can feed the baby for a year. And now some poor people, they don't have anything for children. That baby will drink the mother's milk maybe for 2 years. But if some mother has the baby, and that after that baby a year old, and she got another baby, that the older baby, the first baby comes to drink the milk, she said, no, this is not for you. This is for new baby. And so I have to wean that baby. And the baby doesn't want to listen to mommy. This doesn't happen here, but it happened in India. So they take the bitter leaves and put it on their breast. So the child comes to take a milk and don't drink it. You don't allow that baby to drink by mother's milk when you're 10 years old or 7 years old going to school. No, that doesn't sound a good thing. That's what he is trying to say. When you are born again, go to the first Peter Chapter 2, read verse 2.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Now here it says, if you are born again, child of God, have a desire for sincere milk. What does that mean? Don't get polluted milk. Don't get bad milk or bad formula. Drink the mother's milk so you can grow a strong baby. The same way, if you are born again, child of God, you are going to go to church where the pure milk is given to you without any sickness and disease. So the word of God is trying to say, pure milk is for your spiritual growth. Your born again child of God, maybe 3 months, 6 months, within that time, you should be able to understand the word of God. Yourself, go and read the Bible, study the word, take a dictionary, start reading and studying. I'm talking about myself. The day I got saved, I got hooked to my Bible and prayer. Hours and hours I was reading. 10 chapter, 20 chapter, 30 chapter, 40 chapter, 100 chapter, 150 chapter a day. And I was reading and praying and praying and sleeping. And I'm in a sleep and somebody asked me, could you tell me something? And I'm telling them in a sleep, maybe half asleep. But next day they said, oh, we asked you this and you told us this. I said, I don't know. Point I'm making, I was sold out to God. And I was asking God, Lord, if you call me, I'll give up my job, I'll give up everything and follow you. That's what spiritually growth is all about. When I was going to church, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, prayer meeting, Bible study, doesn't matter how many times. And after the service, outside meeting. And we'll go neighborhood to neighborhood and preach. And then come evening service. So I was already growing spiritually and learn how to eat strong food. When I was in Bible study, and that person was very famous and he was teaching, and when he taught, I said, sir, what are you going to teach next week? He said, I did not prepare next week's study yet. I said, if you give me a hint, why I was asking? So I can go and study the word. And when he comes to Bible study, I would know what he's preaching. For you, it's very easy. I'm in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hope we're going to finish the chapter 5. So you know, next chapter is coming 6. So whole week, once a day, if you read that chapter for 6 days or 7 days, you will never forget that chapter. And when pastor is preaching, it'll be easy for you. That is the sign of growing child. So he is saying you're supposed to be teachers. Now if someone says, how long are you going to church? Oh, 20 years. Did you teach Sunday school anytime? No. How long are you going to church? 25 years. Did you take any ladies' Bible studies? No. Did you take any men's Bible study? No. I'm not ordained. No, you don't have to be ordained to be in a Bible class or teaching something or calling somebody and telling them about Jesus. So the word of God is saying we are not supposed to be baby all the time. We are supposed to learn more strong things. The point I'm making, I'm here to explain to you, to tell you what the word of God is saying. But you should not be dull of hearing. You should be understanding. You should be eager to know what I'm telling you. So the word of God is saying the strong food is for the grown-up people. Go to the Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
See, why the strong food, he says, when you know how to study the Bible very well, the Bible is like a mirror. The Bible is like your guidebook. Bible will teach you what is wrong with you. If you're praying for certain things, it will give you the support of the scripture so you can hold on to that scripture and start praying. So the Bible is your answer for everything. Bible can teach you and guide you. So here he's saying why we have to be strong-minded and healthy spiritually so we can discern what is good and what is bad. And so if you are studying the word of God, then you would know you are not an ordinary person. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. If you are born again child of God, your mind opens, spiritual mind opens. so you can understand spiritual things.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
So now in Christ, we have righteousness, we have sanctification, we have redemption. One thing, we have wisdom. So once we are born again, children of God, we are wiser than the world. The worldly people are much wiser than us, but Jesus Christ comes in and he gives you more wisdom. The word of God says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the greater one is in within you than what is in the world. In the world is the devil. Devil is a smart one. But if you have Christ, he's much smarter, much stronger, much wiser than the devil. So we have to have the mind of Christ. And so if you are not reading the word of God, you would not know what is belong to us. Go to the Ephesians chapter 1. St. Paul is praying for the church that they should know what is belong to them. Chapter 1, start from verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who gives? Our God, through Christ.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
See? Eyes of your understanding. He's talking about spiritual eyes. Enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. That means you are not ordinary. God has called you with a great high calling, and all the Peter, Paul, James and Johns, we are going to sit with them, we are going to be with them. That is our calling. Verse 19.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
See, Jesus Christ gave everything for you and for me. He says, for the church. And he says, everything was under his feet, and if we are the body of Christ, then everything is under your feet and my feet. Because we are the body of Christ. So we are not ordinary people. We are the eyes of God, the hands of God, the feet of God, and the body of Christ. And we are walking around here for what? Telling people what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we are not going to live in this earth forever, but we are going to go to heaven. And that's the mission we have. And that's why we have to tell people we are not ordinary people. Jesus Christ did not come here to make you and me slave. He said, I'm not going to make you slave. You are my friends. And then when he died and rose again, the word of God says, now because of the Holy Spirit given to the mankind, we got the revelation that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and we are his bride. Now, why the bridegroom and bride, this relationship is said? Because it's an intimate relationship with a bride and bridegroom. So he said, now you are not my friend alone, but you are my bride. So we are the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ is coming for his bride. So we have to tell the people, we are not ordinary. Now we will be learning, as we are learning in this book of Hebrews, when we come to the chapter 11, I will explain to you more what is the difference, the Old Testament people and we. Now we saw Old Testament people, the Aaron was the high priest. And the high priest was the highest post in the tabernacle. But that post is gone. Now is given to the Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And then we are learning that that Jesus Christ became the high priest. And now we are the priests. And each and every man is the priest of his own household. So God has given us the priesthood. And when we go to heaven, we will be the kings and priests. In the millennium, we will be kings and priests. So Jesus Christ has given us that job. Now Jesus Christ came as a prophet. Now he is as a priest. And he is coming as a king of kings. Now to us, today we can be prophets, teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ. And in the millennium, we will be priests and kings. And the eternal kingdom, we will be priests and kings. So see, whatever Jesus Christ had, he has given to you and me. So we are not ordinary people. This blessing was not given to Moses or any other Old Testament prophets or anyone. This is given for you and for me. So we should be so much blessed and so much thankful to God and start saying, I'm not going to just drink milk. I want to be strong-minded to know what is good and what is bad, what is evil, because the evil days ahead of us. We are in the evil days, but without the power of God, we are not going to overcome the world. We have to have God-given power to overcome the world. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And you have given him the priesthood, unchangeable priesthood. And we are going to serve him, work with him. Here, as well as in millennium, as well as in eternal kingdom. So you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. So give us that wisdom, open our spiritual understanding to understand our blessings and follow the Lord. Give us grace, Lord Jesus Christ, to be like you. And let the whole world know that we are called by Christ Jesus to follow him. Whatever the problem comes in this world, give us grace to overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.